You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
Welcome to another edition of Swoop's World, right here on the new Talk Story Radio Network. Swoop's World, where you get all you need to know about arts, culture, news, and happiness. Our number, if you want to give us a call tonight, is 562-912-3444. You can always email us at swoopsworld@gmail.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. Once again, if you want to give us a call, that number is 562-912-3444. Now just sit back and enjoy another edition of Swoop's World on the new Talk Story Radio Network. Hey, and welcome to another edition of Swoop's World Primetime Thursday afternoon. And we have a good show today. We're going to have Jack Nunn from Powerhouse Fitness, as well as a good friend of his, Yvonne.
All depends where he's from. I've heard it all different sorts of ways.
He's from Serbia, is what Jack told me. And we're looking forward to talking to him. Smiljanic. Even Smiljanic, I believe, is the name. They're both training for the Henley, which is a historic race crew.
A little regatta, man.
Yeah, exactly.
It's hardcore.
So we'll be talking to them here in about 10 minutes. How's it going, man?
It's going okay. You know, all those end-of-the-year festivities means that I've been volunteering a lot. I'm a little worn out with that. But other than that, it's going good.
Good.
Yes, mostly.
Yeah?
How about you?
Not bad at all. You know, kind of doing the same things you're doing. Just check out this
I saw it. That was
Google
cool.
Google has a, if you go to the homepage of Google today, they have a, in recognition of Les Paul's, what would have been his 96th birthday, I believe.
Oh, is that what that was for? I didn't know what it was for. I was just doodling around with it.
So they have, it's a guitar thing up there, and you can actually make music and record it. And send it. I think I sent you one of my compositions there.
There you go. I don't think I actually listened to it all the way through because I was so busy that yours was playing as I was playing on top of it.
Yeah, so
I'll have to go back and listen to that.
You get a chance to check it out. It's pretty cool. Pretty neat little thing there. And all you do is scroll over it, and it moves guitar strings, and they're well tuned and all kinds of good stuff like that. So that's it, man. Last night we had a pretty really good show. We had Rue Samath, who's a music producer, who joined us yesterday, and he's been producing all kinds of stuff, man. The end title song to Fast and Furious 5, and a bunch of other things, man. And he was a good interview, man.
Yeah, he was. He was an interesting guy. I kind of hit it off with him as far as we had a lot of other stuff in common, which is good because. Musically, we didn't have anything in common. Now, I thought what he's doing was cool, but it's type of stuff I wouldn't normally listen to. But you could hear the quality. You could respect. It's like any new thing. You're like, well, not my type, but not my thing. But you could hear the quality and the effort just an interesting guy and driven. Really, he knows what he wants to do. He's doing it, following his dream. All that shit that we always talk about. It's nice to see somebody doing that and getting ahead and doing it. That's always great,
Yeah, and the thing is, the cool thing is actually he is producing a lot of people that I do like, so that's even cooler. So we're looking forward to getting him back on here.
And I like his thing where he was saying how he's going to, him and his band, Mind the Gap, are going to put out a song every month.
Yeah.
And then they're going to send it to everybody.
Yeah,
like we're not going to hoard this. We're going to give it away. We're going to give it to, because you never know where. I just thought it was cool. First of all, I like when people have those kind of big goals, and then I like when they and then they're going to. It's not like, okay, I'm going to do it, and then I'm going to expect you to give me $1 or $20. I mean, he's like, he's going to put it out there and see what comes from it, and that's a cool effort. But best of luck on that.
Absolutely. Then today we're going to have a little segment with a couple of youngsters talking about all kinds of things to do with video games. So that's something new.
Yep, a whole new segment. Depending on how it goes, it could become a regular thing.
It could be.
Or not.
We'll see how it works out.
So this will be the first time we've had anybody on the show under the age of 18 or 17. I think we had somebody that was like 17 or 16.
17, I think, was the youngest. So
the youngest.
It'll be interesting. Well, you know what we'll do is let's play one of the songs that Ruth produced and get ready for our guests.
Daha.
Be right back. This is Howie Roll from Fast Five.
Yeah. Don Omar. J-Dope. Rick the Villain. Bust a bus. Come on. Exactly how we rolling, and we hugging every block. No matter how police patrolling, and we do it how we do it. Whether it's now or it's later, and we always handle business cause we bout getting this paper. What you want? What you need? As we walk through every gutter, every hood, and every street, and every block, we got it covered. Throwing money while we in the club with shorties on the pole. Let's get it popping in this bitch. Me and my clique coming through. That's how we roll. Phantoms, Derek Lamb lenses, couple of Maybachs suited and booted, SLR McLaren benches rolling. See the way we holding, see the money folding, everybody see the way we hit it. I chosen when we hit the road and everything is golden. Y'all already know how we get it. Peel out on they ass, 160 read on the dash, hand on the wheel and my feet on the gas. Got everything on smash, Don Omar, let's get it. Reek the Ville, J-Do, what up? See the way we do it, see the way we cut up. Put your money where your mouth is or shut up. Legal shots, everybody in the place, let me see you put your gun up. We gon' pop, ready if you ready, y'all already know the way we run up. When we come to take over the streets, y'all niggas know the goal. Every time we put it down, the whole world know that's how we
all the tracks, just move through the beats. Do your thing.
All right, everyone, let's hear it for West High's own Brooke Turner, aka DJ Hook.
Scratching up my first school dance takes confidence. So getting into college, I've got what it takes. So do you.
Visit knowhowtogo.org to learn what you should be doing right now to prepare for college. Start taking the steps at knowhowtogo.org. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation, and the Ad Council.
I'm a champion. Realize Shaq's mechanism.
Hi, Shaquille O'Neal for Rad. This is not your normal PSA. Don't be stupid. Don't drink and drive. If you're going to go out and have a good time, it's fine. But designate a driver to drive home. Let's stop the madness. Don't drink and drive.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
And welcome back to Swoop's World and on Prime Time Thursday afternoon. And we're here every Thursday from Prime Time from 4 to 6, and every Wednesday night, late night, from 8 to 11, both Pacific Standard Times. Our first guest, Jack Nunn, he's running a little late. Just text me, so we'll be expecting Jack here in a few minutes. And then Ivan will be calling in, and we'll be getting a chance to talk about what the Henley is all about. But Jay, you used to be a crew guy. You used to row. You
know, I rowed, about that, but I didn't do anything big. The biggest thing I did was Crew Classic, which is it's a big deal, actually. It's the first big race of the season, and especially for the East Coast teams, because those schools, they're all snowed in. So a lot of times it's like they've only been on the water for a couple of weeks before they're heading out. So it's like for them, it's almost like the first, not quite preseason, because it's one that matters, but it's not the most important one. It's like the first big meet of their season.
Uh-huh.
So, and that's a pretty cool thing. I don't know a lot about the Henley, except for that it's a big deal, and it's been around.
A little background on it, man.
For like, I think it's been around for a couple hundred years,
yes,
or something like that. And winning it is a big deal. Just participating in it, because not just anybody can participate. You know?
Hang on just a second. I bet this is Ivan here.
Here we go.
Hello, you're on Swoop's World.
Hi. This is Ivan.
Ivan, how you doing, man?
Doing great, thank you.
Thanks for calling in. Your buddy Jack is running late. He's not here yet, but you take the stage first.
Absolutely.
Hey, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. I understand you're originally from Serbia.
Yes, I was born and raised in Serbia, and I came to Berkeley when I was 18 for college.
Wow. Well, and now are you coaching there now?
No, once I graduated from Cal, I stayed for another year and coached there.
Uh-huh.
And then I coached Oakland Strokes, which is a local high school team, for another 4 years.
Oh, very cool. Now, yep. the two of you have kind of rowed together. Or, I don't know if he said you guys are in the same boat at Cal, but you've done a lot of things together since then. And my understanding is you're getting ready for the big Henley race, correct?
That is right. Jack and I rowed at Cal for a year. He was a senior and I was a freshman, and we rowed that year together in the same boat. And now, ever since I graduated, we've been kind of rowing on and off for these master's regattas. They're basically guys that graduated from college and don't really belong to any team, but uh-huh. they still go out and row and race every once in a while.
Excellent. Tell us a little bit about the background of Henley. I understand that's a really big deal.
Well, Henley, it's called Henley Royal Regatta, and the name itself really has a really good sound to it. But it's pretty much the epiphany of rowing, of the rowing world. Kind of, the Brits took it to the whole new level. They kept all the traditions of the sport, and it's a very attractive event because you race in pairs. It's a head style regatta, and you race two by two down this 2,000 meter chute, and it's all based on elimination, and entire race course is lined with spectators and beer gardens and people partying, and so they really took rowing to a whole new level.
Well, and I've heard it's also kind of like part of the social season, so some of the tents and all that, first of all, draw some, you know, big names, dignitaries, and there's like a whole dress code and it's like
it's like Wimbledon,
Turkish Downs, you know, Churchill Downs, right? You know where they have that race, and you can't show up any old way. You got to. I understand that's also part of it, at least sections of the race. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, absolutely. So the entire race course has got divided up into separate. I don't want to say beer gardens, but in a way they are. Little sections, and it's extremely difficult and expensive to get a section of the course. So only like the most prestigious families and the most prestigious companies are able to get a part like that, part of the race course that where you go and party. And as you mentioned, the dress code is very strict. Women have to wear long dresses. They're not allowed to show. I'm not even sure if they're allowed to show arms. Like, you have to basically wear floor-length dresses, and the guys have to be dressed in suits.
Wow.
Well, now...
Totally different than the way we do things here.
Besides this event, my understanding is also, you competed in the Olympics.
Yes, back in the day, in 2000, actually. I did that before I came to college. Uh-huh. I competed at the 2000 Olympics.
Wow.
And it's different. I mean, this is more like kind of fun event party. Olympics is a lot more spiritual, if I can use that.
Yeah.
Like, you represent your country. You represent everything. Kind of the preparation period for the Olympics is significantly longer than it is for the Henley Regatta.
Well, your teammate has just arrived. Welcome, Jack.
How you doing?
Good. We're talking to Yvonne here, and he's just telling us about the Henley and you two rowing at Cal. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your experiences of rowing with him?
Oh, it was amazing. My senior year, we had, I think, two Olympians in our boat, and Ivan was one of them. And I was rowing behind him, and he'd always give me a fist pump before every race. He'd be like, "Let's do this thing." Let's win these races. And we pretty much dominated. It was a great year. I think I was the smallest guy on the boat, too. So,
you.
Yeah, me. And this is going to be the same. The average height is 6'6", and so it's going to be awesome.
Good. So are you guys going as a team that's like organized, like part of a bigger thing? How's this working for you? How you getting involved?
This started from Warner and also a Penn Athletic Club. He was the guy that got me interested in doing two Ironmans, one in France and Nice in 2008, and then in Brazil in 2009. And I've always wanted to do the Ironmans, but I never got the instigator to do it. So Warner was the guy, and that's Warner Bonner. He's a guy from San Diego and knows a bunch of Olympians. I know Ivan, of course. There's Seb Bea. There's a bunch of other guys in our boat. But he's kind of the instigator that just was like, I want to do this. No one else, I think, in the boat that's going has done it but me. So I'm the only one that, and this was 12 years ago. I did it when I was 19. So I don't think anyone else has gone before except for me. So it's going to be a crazy, crazy race. It'll be fun.
Ivan, how do you train for something like this?
So we started training. I mean, you've never really stopped training when you do crew. You always kind of stay connected with the guys that you used to row with. And so we race from time to time. And Jack is right. Warner instigated all this when we were at the San Diego Crew Classic, and he's like, I'm putting this boat together, it should be really cool, a lot of really fun. And he told Jack and myself that he would like to have us in his boat, so we're like, all right, let's get ready for this, because the event that we are racing in is actually very serious. That's just shy of the main event. I think the main event is the Grand Eight, and that national team that they're racing in. We are racing in the division sub that, so we're not racing against a national team, but we're racing as a club. So the competition is very serious, and like you have it, since it is elimination each round, like you can possibly lose in first round, and you don't be done with rowing for the whole event. So.
Right. Is it difficult because preparing for this? I know everybody trains individually, but in essence, it's a team sport, and you guys are all spread out throughout the country. How do you come together race time?
So we're going to rely on experience when we're racing against the younger teams, and the fact that all of us have like 10 plus years of rowing experience, that we're hoping that once we get into the boat, we'll be able to pick it up fairly quickly. I mean, from my experience of doing races like this, where you basically meet the guys that you're going to row with the day of the race, it takes about an hour to get a good swing in, and then after that, I mean, if you want to shave 10 more seconds, then you have to put in another like 4 months. we are hoping that the on experience and just pure power that we'll be able to pull a decent time.
Excellent.
And our height, right? Yeah. Guys are like monsters. Actually, I bought lifts for my shoes because I didn't want to be the smallest guy.
So. You guys, I mean, you take these are some you know, some steep challenges. But I guess when you've competed at the level that you guys have competed on over the years, these are the ones that really excite you. I mean, you're not out, you know. I'm sure each week there's some guys get together at the local boathouse and race down the down the river. But this is a big deal. This is way larger than that. And you guys have all competed on really high level of events. So you need these kind of things, right?
Yeah, Ivan, why don't you go ahead and answer that? You have more experience than I do in the national team realm.
Yeah, so I that's true. Like I race most of the guys at the boat that they're gonna race there race pretty much at every single level. So from the U.S. national team to Olympics to collegiate national championships. So all of us in the boat are very like experienced when it comes to racing at different venues. This event is special in a way that it has so much tradition behind it. The level of racing is it's not more than what you see at the World Championships. I think it's more like the prestige of the race itself, of the regatta. But the level of racing is not higher than most of us have experienced.
Jack, when you get together with guys that you've worked raced with in the past, and especially on the collegiate level, does it bring back a lot of memories for you?
Oh, tremendous! It's incredible. I feel like I'm in college again when I rode with these guys, especially Ivan sitting in front of me. That's exactly the seats we sat in. It just brings back a lot of memories. So it's, and then just getting together and not even practicing in some of these races where we go to San Diego and it feels amazing. Yeah. And it's set and it feels like we never got off the water from college. I mean, obviously there's a difference between a crew that's rowed together for 6 months or a year or even a couple of years than a crew you just put together, even if it's all Olympians. They're not rowing, if that's why rowing is the epitome of a team sport. Because you have to have that time. It doesn't matter how good you are.
Yeah.
There was a team, Brown University alumni, went out there 4 or 5 years ago, did the same event we did. They had Wyatt Allen, gold medalist. They had Porter Collins. They had all these guys in there, ringers. And, I mean, just beasts. And they lost in the second round.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's... and then you're racing against Cambridge, Oxford. We just found out a couple days ago we're racing against the Cal Frosch, which is, I kind of got a little upset at first, but then I maybe took a step back, and maybe a few of those guys were under 23 guys, like national team guys. I don't know, maybe, yeah. You know. Yeah. So.
No, I mean, in their boat, they have 3 Serbs also.
Oh, do they? Oh, I hope I... Hey, now I hope we face off against them just so I hear some Serb trash talk. You know?
Well, speaking of that, Ivan, you, like you said in the beginning, you were born and raised in Serbia, and you came here for Cal. Tell us how you got started in rowing in the first place, and what led to you coming to Cal.
Well, I started rowing completely by accident. I literally was riding my bike on this lake where all these guys were rowing. And I thought it was really cool, and I asked them after the practice where can I rent one of those boats, and they bluntly shut me down and told me that these boats are not for rental. You have to train these seriously in order to do what they do. And so the next day I joined the team, and that was freshman year in high school when that happened.
Yeah.
And so going through high school, I competed. All 4 years, and basically the coach, Craig Amakanyan, he's the head coach at Stanford right now. He was the freshman coach and recruiter at Cal at the time. He basically found me on the internet and sent me an email, and we kind of started back and forth, and soon other coaches started calling me, and then I ended up at Cal just because I thought Craig was such an amazing coach.
Yeah. Well, you guys have some fans in the chat room, man. The people who said they rode with you. This is listening to Jack and Ivan. They were awesome when I was on the team in Berkeley with them. Pure legends.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is awesome. It's time for us to take a quick break. Ivan, can you hold on through the break?
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. You listen to Swoops for All Primetime, and our guest is Jack Nunn from Powerhouse Fitness, local Long Beach business. And Ivan, how do you pronounce your last name?
It's Smilevich.
I'll take your word for it. And they are preparing to row in the Henley Royal Regatta in England. So we'll be back right after this.
Watch the leaves fall off the trees. Burns my heart inside of me. Leaning on the window pane. The sky is turning blue to gray. Oh, 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 it's getting colder. The wind is strong, the sun is gone. But harder and harder to hold on. Short, the nights are long. The colors of the rainbow all but gone. The birds all flying away. No kids will come outside to play. Oh, 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 I'm getting colder. Our love is quickly growing thin. And nothing ever, ever stays the same.
I'm not afraid to die. I'm in almost every school bus and classroom. I go to school with your children. We say the Pledge of Allegiance together. You've seen me around the neighborhood, and you've told me I'm a pretty good kid. Well, I'm one out of every four children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger. This problem is closer than you think. My teacher tells me we could grow up and be whatever we want. I want to grow up and be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry. There's enough food in this country to feed everyone. Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for kids like me, quietly struggling with hunger. Together.
Wild, what would you say?
This is Dave from the Dave Matthews Band for Rad. When you go out and party, get drunk, then drive, you're not only loaded, you're a loaded weapon. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives and so should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
This is Raspin Stewart. You're listening to Swoop's World.
We started out so innocently. We learned to take what we need. Forgive us for our greed. Let's dance. We smoke the hookah and dance. We smoke the hookah and dance.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Story Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
And we're back live right here at Swoop's World Primetime, and the song you heard was called Fall, and that's by Mind the Gap, and that's the group that Ruth
Samath,
our guest from last night, is with. Today we have Jack Nunn and Yvonne Smiljanic. I hope that's correct.
That's good.
Our guest today, and welcome back, guys.
Thanks. Good to be back.
You said you been to the Henley before. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
I went. I was 19 years old. It's probably the youngest guy in the event. You have to understand that the event we're in is a varsity national team, kind of mixed in with club. The grand challenge, as Ivan was stating before, was reserved for Olympic teams, national teams with their whole boat. So, but the trick is that there's the one we're entered in, there's no real like rules. It's just you can't be the team, but you can have like two other separate teams and have like four guys from one team and four guys from another and put that boat together. So there's really not a lot of difference, you know. When you go down to the lower levels, then they're more strict. Like, is anyone in your boat a national team member? Has anyone ever competed in a world championships or medaled or Olympics? And then if one guy has, you can't compete. So that's why we have to do this one event. That's it. That's all we got. Right. And when I told Warner this, he was like, dude, we're not going to go. we can't compete. We can't do it. And I was like, you know, I bet we could find some guys, you know, like Ivan, like Seb, like Garrett Clue, like Grant Nichols. I mean, we got a tremendous... And then these two young studs from Johan and Taylor from Penn AC Athletic Club that are just blowing the doors off on the Concept 2 on the rowing machine. They're going... very, very fast. So, and those guys, I think, are like 6'7", 6'6". But when I was there, we weren't expected to go far. We had a tough lineup. Canada national team was there. Cambridge was there. And then the British, this team called Knots, they're infamous for beating American crews. I think before we raced them, they had beaten five American crews in a row. So, and that included Brown varsity, Washington varsity, with guys stacked with legends like Zeno Mueller, like big names in these boats, and these guys beat them. And we raced the first round. We beat this German crew. Actually, the Stroke was a gold medalist from 96. I was like, oh, geez, you know.
Yeah.
Beat them. Second round, we faced Knots. And the whole week, they were making fun of us. They're like, oh, you California dudes, you know, go back to your surf, go back to whatever. They're talking to us like children, you know. They're like, go off and do your own thing. You don't belong. We actually made a name. Our Chuck, this guy Finley, Ivan, is it Finley? What's his first name? Mike Finley, our rigger, put a name on our boat because he has a sense of humor. He put Dude to like go off them, you know, because they were like making fun of us, so he put Dude. They went to our boat and teared off the E, so it said Dud. And we're like, you gotta be kidding. So we found
that's
out
that's a cardinal rule. You don't touch someone else's boat.
No,
for nothing.
And we had like a $60,000, you know, we shipped there for a Resolute, and we shipped there to race. And they were just making fun of us on the water, like, whatever. I'm like, all right. So one of the guys in our boat, this guy John Albin, used to be a football player. And I was like, I knew I'd get him fired up, you know. I just want to see him, you know. And I was like, hey, John, these guys are, you know, talking such crap. And they're just going around and... we need to do something about this. He's like, and you just see his face turning red, you know? He's like, Jack, we got this. We're going to get him. And he's sitting behind me in the boat, and I could hear him, like, just like bullhorn, you know, like before the race, like just steaming. Anyways, start goes off. They blow off the line. They're like two boat lengths ahead of us, and I go, oh no. Oh no. So halfway through the race, we start to climb back on them. And we pull through, and we beat them in the end. And the look on their faces was disbelief. I mean, it was the best race ever. I was, like, full of adrenaline. That might as well have been the final for me. I mean, it was so emotional. I was just like, yes. John, in the meantime, after the race, we got under the bridge, and he goes, is anyone around, guys? You see any officials? Hey. And everyone's like, no. And he goes, hey, you. Hey, you not. Say, how do you like them? How do you like that? How do you like that, huh? And he, among other many cuss words, many, many cuss words were thrown out, and these guys didn't say a word, and they just were just like down, all heads were down, and they were just totally embarrassed.
Yeah.
Because this whole week, they thought, oh, it's in the bag, and then here we are, we beat them. And not only beat them, we crushed them by like a couple lengths. So, and then the final... unfortunately, we had a guy who had chicken pox, and it hit him hard on the last day, and we didn't have a sub, and he got sick, and we lost to Cambridge. So
yeah.
It was and then someone offered me like £1,000 for my jersey after the race, which is like $2,000. And I was crying. I was like, I can't even process what you're saying. I'm like, I don't get away. Yeah. And it's like, that's it. So. And then ever since then, I wanted to go back just to get another shot.
Yeah.
So this is it, you know, very emotional for me.
Cool. Yvonne, I have a couple questions for you. One is, you've coached in the past, and there's always talk of the concept too, and the times that are incurred on the indoor rowing machine. How does that translate out in the water?
Well, it translates very well, actually. If you don't pull a good score on the erg, you will not pull a good score on the water. I'm a firm believer in that. I mean, it's true that they say ergs don't float, and they don't. But if you don't pull a decent score on the machine, there's nothing you can do in the boat. It shows that you have power and strength and endurance that you can put on the face of the wave.
Right. So my 755s don't translate well in the water.
It's funny because it's so true. I mean, you really have to have water time. And a lot of us are trying to get out there, but the erg is the closest thing. However, it definitely doesn't float. You need that.
Well, and if you have bad habits on the erg,
yeah,
you can get away with that a lot of times.
Once you
get on the water, that's when you realize those bad habits.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's when my dad stopped. That's my dad stopped racing at Crash Bees at the Indoor World Rowing Championships on the machines, because this truck driver that didn't have any rowing experience kept beating him. And my dad was like, you gotta be kidding, you know? And he got so upset, he went up to this guy, he's like, listen, can you just try to row? Like, try to row in the water? And he's like, no, I have no interest. And by the way,
I still beat you.
Yeah. And you're what? And you what? You won a bronze medal in Olympics? You're Olympic coach? He would come home, I've never seen, he's so cool, my dad. He's so just mellow. And he came home, and this is before I started rowing. And he came home, and I was like, what's wrong, Pop? And he's like, I don't want to talk about it. I'm never going back there. Just, like, rambling off these things and just so upset.
It's kind of like I was listening to, I forgot who it was, some musician talking about how, and this guy's a, you know, some rock band lead guitarist, and he talks about how his kid beats him at rock band all the time. you know, all of this competition and like you said, Yvonne, that really you guys even though after you left school you still are involved in rowing and stuff like that. How does your nutrition play a part in this?
Well, it's actually very important because if you pack weight very, very quickly, once you get out of college, when you train 4 or 5 hours every day and you go and now you train 4 or 5 hours a month, and you continue to do the same amount of food, then you pack weight very quickly. So for this race, all of us kind of committed to like really watching what we eat and eating healthy. And Jack was even gave us some of his supplements. I believe it's Juice Plus. Is that what it's called?
Yes, Juice Plus. I've been on it for 3 years.
It's great, and yeah. So it really, really helps you keep you on the track.
What is it? Kind of give us a little more information on that, Jack.
Well, I'm always been a fan on getting the edge. I mean, taking supplements that help as far as protein. Obviously, we get tested for everything. Yeah. So on the national team, Olympic status, you cannot even drink more than a couple cups of coffee or else you're going to be nailed. You know, Lance Armstrong always talks about how many times he was tested all day, all night. You know, they're still trying to nail him on a bunch of stuff. But this has been something that's so common sense, you know. They just changed the food pyramid, as you guys know, a couple days ago, to a plate. Half of the plate is fruits and vegetables. I mean, it's not anything new, you know. I mean, we need that, and this Juice Plus can only help add to that nutrition and give you your body what it needs. And recovery is the best thing. I've noticed that after training 3 or 4 hours a day, which I've had my big days, the next day I'm able to get back, or throughout the day, because I still have to run a business.
Yeah.
You know, Powerhouse Fitness, it doesn't just, you know, it's not just there. I mean, I'm the one guy. I'm running the whole show. So I have to be alert and still work. I can't just take naps or anything. So that's the main thing I've noticed from a guy that, you know, I don't know if you remember Ivan, but Craig Emrakanian back in 1998, when I was a freshman, popped the back open of his Mercedes, his old Mercedes he used to have, and gave us all a can of creatine. And he goes, hey guys, this is new stuff. I want you all to take this. Here's the creatine. Well, guess what? This year, NCAA banned. Creatine is banned. Everything is banned. They're locking the door on this stuff. You don't need any of this stuff. I mean, it only hurts you. And all you need is fruits and vegetables, some protein. You know, and I have it on my website. You know, it's powerhousefit.com. I have the things listed, and the videos are all on the website, jnunjuiceplus.com. And you can watch how they make it, and it's all pure. You know, it's just no magic pills. It's not the solution, but it's something to help. You know.
Yeah. So, in my understanding, that's just all that is fruits and vegetables.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very cool. Yvonne, when you're not rowing, and what are you doing on a day-to-day basis these days?
I work in sales for this tech company called Riverbed.
Uh-huh.
and we are downtown San Francisco, and we sell network of appliances, basically, that accelerate computer networks.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Well, how far away is this race? The race is like, what, 2 weeks away? Is that about right?
Yeah, it's pretty close. It is
pretty you guys close. Seem pretty calm about this.
Yeah, not really. So. We were talking about it back in San Diego Fall Classic November. We sat down for breakfast. I was having some issues with my lungs. I was like, I don't feel too hot. And then Warner comes out and he goes, dude, let's do Henley. And I'm like, we do this. We talk about this every year. We're not going to go unless there's so much logistics involved. So then he gets all crazy around Crew Classic. And honestly, we're all out at the bar, this Bar Basic down in downtown. And he's getting, you know, liquored up. This is the day before the race, by the way. This is how we do it. Not in this race, but in San Diego. And he comes up to me, he goes, Jack, we're going to Henley. Seb's in. I'm working on stuff. We're going. This is 2 months ago. I'm like, dude, this information would have helped 6 months ago. When I was, like, thinking about it, I would have been, like, better off. But I'm still always in shape, but it's just getting to that point where you're never, and at that level, you're never going to feel like you're good enough. You're always going to want more, but it's cool that we're all coming together again and doing this. So, and all these guys for the first time. So
outstanding. Well, sounds like you're looking forward to it. And Yvonne, this is your first time, and you sound like you're pretty ready to do this, huh?
Yeah, I'm super psyched. I cannot wait, to be honest. Ever since I stopped rowing, Henley was one thing that I regretted not doing. And all these years, I've been thinking about it. Like, oh, I hope someday I'll go. If not to race, at least to party there, because it's a really cool party. And then when I was in San Diego with Jack and Warner, we were, as he said, we're at the bar, and Warner just like, I want to go to Henley. Let's do it. I'm like, yes. Me as well. Let's do this thing.
Typical guy move, right? So, you know, anyone in their right mind. I grew up with four sisters, right? They would have been like a year ago, okay, or 5 years ago. We're gonna play this, but I guess it adds that special, you know, thing. But even for the Ironmans, Warner was like, "Hey, next year we're gonna do it," and I'm like, "Okay, that allows me like 8 months, you know."
Yeah,
it's just like 2 months. So, but it's harder with a group of guys,
right?
You got to get your boat. You got to get the right size boat, a good boat, which we have now. We just found out yesterday. We got a M-Pocker 100 kilo, which is it's gonna fit us just right. From 2004, Cambridge race in the big boat race against Oxford in 2004. So it's a pretty new one.
And it's already there?
It's there. They're going to deliver it from London. I don't know if you know this, Ivan. But
no, I had no clue.
Well, we just found out 2 days ago, so that's locked in. And you got to have oars that fit. You got proper rigging. My dad's going to be coaching us, so that's going to be good. And he's an expert in rigging. Because you can win or lose races.
It's all science behind it.
Oh,
yeah.
Complete science. Our rigger, Mike Finley, uses lasers to, like, rig our boat.
Wow.
Yeah, and there's actually a really funny story about that, too. But, one of our races, we crashed in college, warming up. That was Frank, our REIDF, by the way, Ivan. Maybe this was, I don't know if this was your year or my junior year. But anyways, we crashed. And we had to re-race. We had to reschedule the race. And one of the coaches from Washington comes up to our coach Gladstone and goes, "Hey, so when are we going to do this thing?" And, you know, I'm getting, you know, let's go. Our guys are getting antsy. And our coach Gladstone goes, "Hey, we use freaking lasers to do our boat. We need time to do this," you know. I was dying laughing when it was like, oh my God. So, anyways, you got to have the proper equipment. You got to have a place to stay. Logistics, you know, flights, money. I mean, just a lot of stuff to think about. also there's like these, you know, it's royalty kind of that goes there. So you gotta, you know, do you want to go to the steward's enclosure? Do you want to go? How are we gonna watch the race? You have to buy passes for that. You know, we're just talking about that. Like, I have access to 3 passes through this one guy that works for us, but that's all they have. We have 20 people in our group. And these passes are really expensive. And I'm just like, okay, who's working on this? You know? Gear, you know, fundraising for these 2 young kids from Penn AC. They don't have any money. The club has to raise money for them to fly out there. The Euro's killing us. I mean, it's just like, it's a lot of stuff. So,
but I'm pretty sure they use pounds in England, though.
I'm sorry, pounds. Sorry, whoops. They're going to kill me for that. But, no.
And Yvonne around to keep you straight.
That I was thinking Euros, because I'm going over to Europe after the race to kind of combine a trip out of it. So, and then, but yeah, the pound is ridiculous. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, cool, man. Well, you know what? I wish you the best of luck, and you're going to have to come back on afterwards and let us know how you did and how much fun it was.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
Yvonne, thank you for calling in, and thank you for joining us. And
absolutely.
Always welcome back on the show, man.
I got to ask Ivan one question, because I've never really asked him this before, but what's your funniest story about us, I guess, you and me racing together? Do you have any funny ones? Because I'm exhausted.
Oh, I don't know. I think one of the, I don't know the funny story, but the funniest race we had was probably the heat in at IRA's when we won it, but we won it barely, and Bledsoe started screaming at us when we got off the water that was the worst race that he has ever seen in his life. And the look on Eric Therese, the mom of Eric Therese, just like cheering us on, great job, and then hearing Bledsoe just screaming us in, and then the poor thing just shutting up and saying, okay, I guess I'll talk to you guys later.
I totally forgot about that.
The best event.
I totally forgot. That's totally right. That's we cruised through this heat, and we just barely won. And everyone, including my dad, was like, oh, yeah, you know, good race. Cheering us on. And then Gladstone just comes in and just rips us, you know, just like, what the hell was that? You know, just, you guys look like, you know, all this stuff, and just laid into us big time, pointing us out, calling, hey, you, you know, and then you can hear my dad and Eric Trey in the background going like, yeah, I thought it was a good race, you know?
Well, that's the difference. See, family's supposed to cheer you on. The coach's supposed to give you the straight scoop.
I have one more. Do you remember Ivan at Pac-10s? I think this was senior year. Yeah, this was. Pac-10s, we had a heat against Stanford. And Eric Trey was like, oh, this is no contest. And at the end of the race, Franco took it down, our coxswain, took it down to a 22 stroke rate. Stanford was at 38. That would be like if Prefontaine was walking and I was sprinting and I couldn't catch him. It looked ridiculous. And then we went down to 18 strokes a minute, and I could hear people on our boat yelling, no! Like, you know, because you can get a unsportsmanlike. Because it looks bad. It looks like you're just cruising. But, Ivan, do you remember that? Were you in that boat?
No.
Okay, well, Bobby was in there, and he was laughing, one of our guys, and was just laughing at the end of the race. I was like, this is so bad. And then, on top of that, we do a drive-by. So we don't even go into the docks. We do a victory lap. And this is in the heat. And Franco is, like, laughing. He's like, isn't this great, guys? And I'm like, there's our second misconduct. Like, so at the starting line, for the final, they're like, okay, Berkeley, you're assessed 2 false starts. If you false start here, you're out of the race. If you do anything, you're out of the race. You know? So it was, that was ridiculous, but anyway.
Well, now I know where the real University of Spoiled Children is.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for coming on the show, and best of luck to you out there.
Thank you.
You're listening to Swoops Roll Primetime. We're going to take a quick break and be back after this. Thanks, Yvonne.
Thank you.
Are you ready? To be someone, to a stranger, of less fortune, would you offer up your smile? Just for the love of it, what is a saint to you? Are you willing to be
And welcome back to Swoops World Primetime. And that was Michelle Mangione, What is a Saint? And we were out with Michelle not too long ago. Let me just give you a couple shout-outs to our couple friends of ours that we always like to let everybody know about. First is SoCal Mobile Detailing. And like I said, if you want to get your cars washed, SUVs, trucks, boats, you name it, why take it somewhere else? Have them come to you. Brandon Williams, and he runs SoCal Mobile Detailing. They have the best prices in town. Car washes, wash and wax, full details, interior details, you name it. Give them a call, 310-997-5660 and 562-856-8121. Or email them at socal.calmds@gmail.com. And, of course, we always talk about Powerhouse Fitness. And, of course, Jack Nunn was here with us tonight, and he's still in the room. But we let you know about Powerhouse Fitness. If you want to get in shape, stay in shape, train for the Henley, you name it, they got everything for you. They have Zumba, boot camp, spin classes, personal training. Two locations, 5750 Boathouse Lane, 1347 Loma Street. The website is powerhousefit.com. If you want to give them a call, it's 562-688-1716. Let them know Swoops World sent you, and you get 1 week for free. And tonight, we have a new segment here.
Yes, we do.
We have two of our favorite young men. We have Sean and Max, or Max and Sean. I don't know if you guys worked that all out yet.
No.
But they are here to give us a little insight on video gaming. How's it going, guys?
Good.
I can't hear you. You have to speak up over there.
Good.
Thank you, Sean. What are you guys going to tell us about?
Oh, well, so there's a new Call of Duty game coming out, and it's supposed to be awesome.
Yes, amped up Modern Warfare 3.
Yeah.
For, PS3, Xbox 360.
And PC.
How's it supposed to improve over what's out there already?
Well, the latest Game Informer says it's not improved at all, and said the difference is you can take off a scope and put it back on at will.
So minor.
Minor differences, yes.
Yeah.
Now you both play Modern Warfare, right?
Modern Warfare 2, yes, and yes. It's one of the best Call of Duty games ever known.
How many are you familiar with?
There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
And you've played them all?
Not all.
How many have you played?
Seven.
Seven? Oh, wow, then that's a pretty good...
Haven't played the original.
Haven't played the original, all right.
What about you, Sean?
I've played 1, 2, 3, 4,
it's radio, man. You
five.
Gotta...
five of them.
Okay.
Okay.
And is this most recent one the best of the five, or the best of the
three?
We
don't know.
No, the one that you guys have, the most current one you have?
Yes,
now.
It's... Not the current, not the... newest one. The one before that's the best because it's more high tech.
Yes.
So what do you look for when you're deciding on a game and what to play?
We have good help from Game Informer, which we love very much, but what we usually do is we look online. I do, at least. I don't know what you do, Sean.
Yes, I also get the magazine or what my friends get, and they tell me about it, and then I try it out for myself.
But
what helps you decide if you like a game or not? I mean, not the information, but when you're actually playing it, and you play it and you go, this is a good game, or you go, this game sucks, I'm going to do something else. What do you like most in a game?
First-person shooter, intense action, and what's that last thing I like? Oh, yes, horror.
Horror?
Yes.
Blood and guts?
Yes.
I like if the graphics are good and
that's good too.
If you can control your character the way you want to.
Yeah, because some games like you want to go straight and you'll go like that.
Is that like wiggling all over?
Yes. Like,
remember, this is radio, my friend.
Yes.
Little motions that indicate how you're moving. Don't show up on the air.
Okay, fine. But MW3 particularly, it got canned, man. It says that the only difference between this whole thing is switching off the scopes.
How much is that going to cost?
How much is what going to cost?
The new game. What's it going to run?
It's going to be from around $50 to $60.
Or the regular version.
And then if you want prestiged or hardened edition, it's like $80.
$80 or $120. And those...
So you guys think you guys are going to be buying this game?
Yes.
Right now, you just told us it got canned.
It got canned, but we're huge Call of Duty fans.
And I already
so you're loyal.
And we stick with them. And another thing is that Treyarch is getting is having a big problems because their head just left with a huge chunk of their team.
Treyarch is the makers of the game?
No, one this is Infinity makers. Ward.
Okay, the Modern Warfare games
are made by Infinity Ward. World at War and Black Ops are made by Treyarch.
So Treyarch, so the people that produced this new game
are Infinity Ward.
And their head of their that company left. Is that what you're telling us?
Yeah.
Like that could it's like Steve Jobs leaving a
yeah. So that's why Activision is hiring Sledgehammer for this game.
Okay. And what's Sledgehammer's credentials?
Credentials.
They were with Infinity Ward, but yes. They got fired.
Yeah, so pretty much.
They already had a contract to make the new game, so they just went under a new name.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Very cool.
What are some of the other games you guys like to play?
Oh, we like.
Where you spend all your time in World of War?
World at War? What are
I
you
mean,
talking?
Black Ops. Sorry.
Not Black Ops either. Oh my god. Oh well, I like playing.
Didn't you just say they? Didn't you just say they play Black Ops?
Oh my.
Okay.
Okay. I like playing Halo Reach, which is, like, awesome, and I know you do, too, Peter.
Sure. What about you, Sean? What's some of the other games you like?
I like FIFA 11.
Oh, that's a good game.
Homefront.
Oh, Homefront.
And, NBA 2K11.
Nah.
So you're in some of the sports games, then.
Yeah.
Now, all the games you guys play... I know you can play with somebody else in a room. Do you play a lot of them online with people from other countries and other worlds and stuff?
Yes.
Dude, not usually countries, but it's usually in the United States. Okay. But I played with a Australia guy on Call of Duty Black Ops Zombies.
Now, which way do you guys play more? Do you play more
multiplayer.
Campaign or more of the
multiplayer? Both of those.
Multiplayer.
Yeah.
Multiplayer. Yeah,
you do
it's
that
funner.
With the sports games, too?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Good.
And...
So, go ahead.
Also, Halo 4 is coming out soon.
Yeah, we don't know what the title is. It's just Halo 4.
What's the date on that?
We don't know.
Next year.
Next year.
And also, L.A. Noir is coming out soon. And it's based... Noir.
Noir.
Whatever.
I'm just asking.
A couple months ago.
Yeah,
and it came out?
Yeah, and it's supposed to be the 1940s Grand Theft Auto.
I've seen the commercials for that, or the posters and stuff for that.
It's, you're a detective, and you go around L.A., solving all the cases.
And it's out. So do you know anybody that's played that?
Yeah, my friend has it. He says it's really good.
Yeah.
And they use actual places in Hollywood and...
Yeah. And so it's more like campaign driven, you know, it's not like a free for all, you have to go achieve goals, that sort of thing. Cool.
And another game that's coming out is Mass Effect 3, which is basically a combination between Call of Duty and Halo.
Yeah. Is that supposed to be good? Do we know yet?
Mass Effect won platinum hits on Xbox, the original one did, so it's supposed to be good.
Cool.
Very good.
And some people
more prepared than Sealy, man. They got notes and everything.
A lot more prepared. We gotta let these guys help him out. Help him organize him. Yeah. Good job there, guys. Is there any like old school games that I heard there's a lot of like they put like Mario Brothers is still a big title in
Mario kinda sucks.
Yeah. But is there other ones that are successful?
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat.
Oh yeah, they just came out with a new game.
Yeah, it's supposed to be really good.
Yeah, and it's like is it like the old stuff, old one kind of like updated, or did they added other things to it?
Yeah, it's just updated because better graphics.
And before that, they did Mortal Kombat
versus DC Universe.
Yeah,
and I have that game, and it's very awesome.
Very awesome. Cool.
Well. You guys go. What can we expect next time? We won't be on next Thursday.
Well, next
it'll be in 2 weeks.
Next time, me and Sean are going to talk about something.
Yeah, what you say there is, We have some ideas, but we don't want to let the cat out of the bag just yet.
You'll be expecting some more first-person shooter. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
All right.
A little teaser there.
Well, thanks, Max, and thanks, Sean. And
that's excellent.
Good job, guys.
And for any of you that think Black Ops is better than NW2, you're wrong.
You could send us an email at swoopsworld@gmail.com, and we'll pass it on to our gamers.
If you want to...
Our experts. Our experts.
Yes.
Thank you, guys.
You listen to Swoops World Primetime, and that was Max and Sean with the Word on the Street as far as video games are concerned. And we're going to take another break. Wow. They got to work on the door slam.
They
got to
work on a bunch of things here.
We'll take another quick break. We're going to give you another song that was produced by Rue, our guest from last night. And this is... Where'd it go? Kali featuring Greg Cotton. Don't Let Me Down.
You belong to me, I belong to you. When we're apart, my heart won't stop. You're attached to me, I'm attached to you. When you are far, my heart is blue. If I didn't have you, I'd be alone. If it doesn't make sense, we should let it go. I know it's hard to let your true colors show, but if you didn't know my feelings, now you know. I know it's hard to go, but you gotta try, cause I can't bear to sit here and watch you cry. Every tear that comes dripping down your pretty eyes, killing me inside, girl, lift your head high. I got you on my mind like all day. Dirty thoughts, think about you in the wrong way. Me and you making love as a song plays. I'm attracted to your body in a strong way. You say we don't spend enough time. I'm out here on the grind trying to make sure that we shine. I say we as in me and you combined. Cause whenever you close, girl, I just feel alive, you're mine. You belong to me, I belong to you. When we're apart, my heart won't stop. You're attached to me, I'm attached to you. When you are far, my heart is blue. Pursuing it. I love the way you looking in the rear view. Turn your music down, no, I can't hear you. Is this the real you? If it is, please, don't ever change. This is all that I need. You can call it greed. I want you all to me, and I'll never let you go until I'm 6 feet deep. Till death do us part, you can have my heart. If I had a second chance, I'd love you from the start. You're so gorgeous, your body's so flawless. I wouldn't call it love, but I don't know what to call it. I'm attached to you, you attached to me. Why we breaking up, this isn't how it has to be. All we gotta do is try harder. Shooting for the stars, but I think we'll go farther. You belong to me,
you're mine.
I belong to you,
I'm yours.
When we're apart, my heart won't stop. You're attached to me,
to me.
I'm attached to you,
to you.
When you are far, my heart is.
Down, 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 let me down, down, down.
times die, memories fade with them. Different tracks, but we bop into the same rhythm. Hopefully you'll feel where I'm coming from. If you stay with me, we could be number one. I know that you've been trying to get away. Put this in your iPod and press play. And words can't describe what I really want to say. But ride with me, girl, let's get away, let's get away.
You belong to me.
You're mine.
I belong to you.
I'm yours.
When we're apart, my heart won't stop. You're attached to me.
To me.
I'm attached to you.
To you.
When you are far, my heart is blue. So stay.
Stay with me, girl.
Stay.
Stay.
Stay with me. So stay.
Stay with me. Janine Marks, a 12-year-old, was fairly normal. She spent a lot of time online. One day, she met a new friend. The new friend had the same problems at home. They liked the same bands. They worried about the same subjects in school. They promised to keep each other's secrets. They wished they went to the same junior high. The new friend had good news. He said he was going to be in Janine's area one Saturday. He thought it would be amazing if they could just hang out, go to the mall. Janine agreed. The new friend didn't want parents messing this up. Janine showed up alone. So did her new friend, who wasn't in junior high, wasn't nice, and wasn't a 14-year-old boy. Every day, children are sexually solicited online. Help delete online predators. Call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com to learn how to protect your kids' online life. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
If you're a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, like me, coming home can be harder than expected. But it turns out I wasn't alone.
At IAVA.org, there's a free online community of thousands of vets who've got your back. Whether it's managing the transition home or everyday stuff
like finding a nice sweater for my dog.
Sweater?
Okay, maybe not that. Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org.
We've got your back.
Brought to you by IAVA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
This is Last Day Off,
and you're listening to Swoops World Radio.
Welcome back to Swoops World Primetime, and that was kind of cool.
That was. they got on a roll, and they almost couldn't stop them.
And they're prepared. They notes. Got the book.
Well, I told Max. I said, "Look, you know, your Game Informer. Fortunately, it came in today. Today's so the June's edition came in today, and I said you got an hour or two to look at that, and so." You know, look and see, like, what's coming up so we know what to expect. Well, so I gave him a little, like, what to do. But I said, but it's up to you guys. You talk about whatever you want. But this is a good place to start. And he actually wrote stuff down, which, let me tell you, man, I can't ever get him to do that for anything else. He kind of got into it. He got into the moment. That was cool.
He showed up 15 minutes early.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that, man. They might be able to come on Wednesday nights.
We'd have to seriously tone down the Wednesday night show.
Yeah, they're a little older.
Yeah. Definitely my wife would not be happy about it. So I'd say, well, they, we talked about this and we talked about that.
Well, what do you got news for me today, man?
I'm sorry, man. I got caught up. Caught behind. I didn't really do a whole lot in that regard. However, remember last week, last Thursday, we were talking about that was the first day of the hurricane season.
Right.
It was kind of ominous because it was our show and we'd just been talking about natural disasters like the day before, the week before, whatever. Today is actually the first hurricane going on right now. The first, they're not expecting it to make landfall anywhere in the U.S., but they announced that this is like the first official. Hurricane would be forming today.
Wow.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy, huh? Right?
Yeah, man. You could have that, man.
Yeah.
Well, I did see this. It's police release. This is in Philadelphia. Police release surveillance tape that they say shows a rape suspect walking with an 11-year-old girl who attacked her earlier. So they actually got a videotape of this guy walking with the girl. So they, you know, and they have him identified apparently. But I also saw another story today, and I'm trying to find it here, where the actual victim of a rape, was smart enough to somehow hit a some kind of video, and has the suspect talking to her. So they're looking at looking for him too. So that came up today too. But there's a couple other. We talked about Wiener.
That guy.
Last night. And
he's, what to say about that? I mean, and then, I don't know if we mentioned it on the air last night, but they are saying that his wife is pregnant.
No, yeah, we mentioned that. His wife's pregnant. She's 3 months pregnant. And she's in Libya or someplace with Hillary.
Yeah. The more I heard about that whole thing, the more I started to think, like, I think she knew of his proclivities.
Well, no, definitely.
She was okay with it until it reached this sort of proportion.
I don't think so, because they had when he was giving his news conference, one of the reporters kept asking him, have your wife talked about this or something like this? And the conversation, or his answer, kind of inferred that there had been a discussion about him and pictures and stuff like that.
Yeah.
In the past.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then he said, and she's not happy about it. So, I think he's...
She's still married him. I don't know how unhappy she was. It's like a hobby. You know,
everybody's got a hobby.
You know, honey, you know, yeah, you're spending too much time out there on the trains and the garage. Come on in, honey. It's like that. Like, I'm not really happy about it. But, you know, it's a hobby. Everybody's got to have a hobby.
You got to have a hobby. Yeah, we'll see how this turns out, man. But like we said yesterday, the happiest guy in the whole world about this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, man.
It knocked him out the front. Nobody's talking about him anymore.
Arnold who? Yeah.
He's laughing at me. Wiener. Yeah. You're a wiener, little man. Oh, and then Lenny Dykstra. What do you think about that?
Lenny. Come on, Lenny.
What's the whole story behind that?
Well, what I heard was that he was, you know, he went into business, he became a businessman, an entrepreneur, opened up a whole bunch of businesses, and then he wasn't quite so good at the businesses. Some did well, some didn't, but then when the economy went sour, he was overextended, he bought too much property, and so then what I heard was they foreclosed on his house, and he had a lawyer who was making an argument that they couldn't because the bank screwed something up, so he had a legal right to remain there. The bank was trying to have him evicted. And then they won out, and he basically refused, and so he started selling stuff off, including a car that he'd used on collateral somewhere, So which means it wasn't his car to sell because somebody else was collecting on it. So that's where the Grand Theft Auto charge comes from, because he didn't actually steal a car, but he sold his own car, which was no longer his car.
Right.
That's my understanding. And then he was basically squatting in this mansion that he'd lived in that now the bank was foreclosing on and trying to kick him out. And they'd come in and change the locks, and he'd broken in and then had the locks changed again. And it sounded like just an ugly, you know, and he was convinced all along he had some plan to recoup all of his losses and pay off his debts. And then through all this, that's the other thing, is through all this, he was in bankruptcy court, and his argument was that you can't foreclose yet because I'm going through bankruptcy court and you have to wait, and it's going to end up favorable so I get to keep the house. But then when the bankruptcy court said, no, the house is gone because you used it for collateral for like 10 other things or something like that. That's why he didn't accept the ruling, I guess.
Well, speaking of foreclosures, Did you hear about this couple in Florida that foreclosed on the Bank of America?
No. Uh-uh. No, this is good. I like this already.
Okay, Bank of America foreclosed on their home.
Right.
But they didn't have a right to. See what happened? These people bought this home and they paid cash for it, so they didn't have a loan with Bank of America. So somehow they had this reasoning or reason for believing that they had a right. These people were behind in their mortgage, so they issued foreclosure proceedings, and it goes to court, and the people win. They win because they paid cash for the house. It's their house, but B of A screwed up, right? So then when they win, they ask for attorney fees. So for Bank of America owed them $2,500 or $2,800 or something in attorney fees. They never paid. They didn't pay. So their attorney went and got a judgment against Bank of America, and they walked into the local branch with the sheriffs and said, we're foreclosing on you. They start removing equipment and money, money out of the till because it's assets. And so after, I forgot how many months it had been, a year, 6 months or something, that they tried to get it done. They wouldn't get done. And usually, I guess when this happens, it's Florida law, the people, whoever it is, have 5 hours to make it right. Within an hour, the bank was handed them a check.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sure. They closed the branch and everything.
Again, well, this shit happens in Florida, right?
All of our stories come from Florida every week.
Well, here's one that doesn't come from Florida. This one's crazy. I mean, this is like almost too stupid, but it's being reported by BBC, so they're generally credible. So here it is.
I like you qualified that.
Well, you know. You always got to... grain of salt. That's the thing. So the headline... I'm not even going to tell you the headline because that just gives it all away. So there's this guy... He's a Russian man, and he persuaded a friend for good luck, because things are horrible, and it's just life is so busy, and cell phones, and this, and he just wants some quiet. So, and to have some good luck and all this, he persuaded a friend to bury him alive for a night. The victim dug a hole in a garden in the eastern city of Blagoveshchensk. I'm not saying close. And climbed into an improvised coffin with holes for air pipes, taking a mobile phone, which doesn't make sense if you're trying to get away from that shit, taking a mobile phone and a bottle of water with him. Because you might be thirsty. What are you going to do when you wake up in the middle of the night and you got to piss? I don't know, but you might be thirsty, and so you want to stay hydrated when you're in the hole. So his friend covered him in the coffin with earth and then left after the buried man phoned to say he was fine. Okay. The next morning, he returned to find his friend dead. The 35-year-old victim had believed that burying himself alive for a night would bring him luck the rest of his life.
Actually, it did. The rest of his life.
Yeah.
His luck ended.
According to his friend, the man wanted to test his endurance and insistently asked his friend to help him spend the night buried. We know that the victim was a computer programmer and that he has a small child. The coffin was... It was basically covered by about 8 inches, so it wasn't really all that deep. But so I don't know.
You should have tied a bell to his finger, man.
Right? Yeah. Here's the thing: is they speculated that heavy rain overnight could have blocked the air supply to the man trapped inside. So maybe he didn't asphyxiate. Maybe he drowned. Like, who knows?
Let's skip the fact that it was just a bad idea all around. He might have chosen a better friend.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody's going to hang in there the whole time.
Yeah. Surprisingly, this is not the first time this has happened in Russia. Last summer, a guy in northwestern Vologda region persuaded his friend to bury him in the ground to help him overcome his fear of death. And... not surprisingly, he was found dead an hour and a half later, crushed by the weight of the earth.
Fear gone.
It worked. At least in that case, it worked.
So, Russia's the Florida of...
apparently. It's the Florida of Europe. I don't know. That's just crazy, man. So there you have it. I read that. I was like, this is...
Every continent has to have a Florida. It's just like I used to work with a guy who says, every crew has a Fredo. Anytime we'd be working a case, it says, don't worry about it. Every crew's got a Fredo. We'll figure it out sooner or later.
That's just nuts, though. So that was the one I'm, about as far as I got into. And then I got busy doing other crap today.
That's all right, man. We've done a lot this last 2 weeks, man.
We have, yep.
Well, anyway, let's see. Sunday night, I don't know if you're going to be able to make it, but they'll be at...
still working on that.
We'll be at Swoops World, the second Sundays, at the Coffee Gallery in Altadena, California, man. So we'll be there for open mic night and their front stage. And it'll be a good time. And if you've never been there, check it out. It's on Lake Avenue, and I'm frantically looking for the card where I wrote the address on. Of course, I don't see it now, but I do see the lyrics to Bye Bye, Mr. American Pie.
Yeah. A special moment last night.
Very special moment last night. But anyway, we'll be at the Coffee Gallery in Altadena, California, Sunday night from 7 o'clock on. And it's good times. As a matter of fact, our guest from last week, Mark Platt, was one of the people that I met last time I was there. So, super talented people. Come on down if you get a chance. It'll be up on our website, and you can find the address there. You can Google the Coffee Gallery, Altadena. Other than that, we got going on next week on Wednesday. Man, do you remember who our guest is? I believe.
I don't.
You don't? Why don't you, man?
I don't usually look far into the future.
You don't know until I show up on Wednesday, huh?
No, I usually check on Tuesday, because I... You know, at some point on Wednesday, I got to go and set up the chairs appropriately or whatever. So, I usually do check a day ahead.
Oh, man.
Next the Dregs week, of Pele?
Dregs of Pele. And they are a group that I actually met at the Coffee Gallery last month.
There you go.
Very, very cool. That's going to be Scott and Laura. And good people, good musicians. And definitely going to enjoy that one. So, and then
calling
next,
in or they'll be here
they will
in
be
the
here.
Studio?
They will be in the in humble studio. Here in Long Beach, California. Next Thursday, no show. No Swoops World Primetime, no show, because I have a couple graduates that day.
That's right,
a busy day.
Oh,
so,
Which means summer starts.
It does, but Wednesday night show's back there. So you can check us out on Sunday night, 7 o'clock. We'll be right here, SwoopsWorld.com, and listen to us live. And if not, join us again next Wednesday night. I think that's going to do it for us this week, or at least today. And I want to thank Jack Nunn and Yvonne Smiljanic.
Oh, man. I'd never.
We're going to work with that. And
he's not here right now, so
he'll correct me.
He will.
Good luck to them. And thanks for listening to Swoops World. We'll talk to you again. Good night, all.
Good night.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Story Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.